Hey everybody, welcome to the show. You are listening to the Rusik Podcast. We are a roots music podcast based out of Nashville, Tennessee, where we talk to people in the local music scene and beyond.
Our guest today is Matthew Weldy.
He is a singer, songwriter, guitar player, now based out of Nashville.
You want to hear Mr. Matthew Weldy play? He did multiple live performances here with us in the Rusik studio. If you want to check those out, head over to our YouTube channel at Rusik Podcast where you can see those.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us on whatever platform you're listening to this on, and share it with a friend. Yes, I think next year we're getting in and out, which I am kind of honestly terrified for.
I think they're moving their headquarters here to Tennessee.
Really?
Like they're, yeah.
See, that makes me love
another,
in and out
another
even
California
more.
Company gone.
That's yeah. a common Bounce. Trend. Yeah, tons of companies
of
are leaving
is,
California.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Who started those fucking fires, dude? Let's fucking
right,
get this shit flagged, bro.
Let's go. No, it is absolutely.
Do you have any theories?
I mean,
on,
yeah. dude, I think it's a little too early for theories,
I have
but
seen,
I'm skeptical. You know, I have a healthy
there's
skepticism.
Tons of videos of people like running around downtown
like,
LA, like lighting
shit, dude,
shit on
with,
fire.
Like blow torches and
yeah.
shit. It's fucking
no,
crazy.
Yeah,
dude.
I think they did determine. Because that stuff, they are really good at determining exactly what the source is from. And mm-hmm. I think there are a couple places where they have, I think, unequivocally decided this was a man-made, probably, I think they're actually declaring it arson, which
well,
is interesting.
Also, dude, there's that fucking, like, the Hawaii thing was weird.
What's the
land grab, dude? Like,
you think that's what
dude,
it is?
What did you talk? They were like, here, they were giving families who've been there for decades, like, here's $1,000, good
yeah,
luck.
Good
They're gonna
luck,
build fucking
yeah.
hotels in the fuck.
Oh
of
my
course,
God, yeah.
dude.
And then there were,
you know that, right?
Yeah. You know the deep. My turn.
It's sketch.
Who's they?
Yeah, who's that?
Oh, well, that, dude, we're not going to answer that question tonight, dude. That's yeah.
You got to give a they.
Yeah.
And then the response.
All right.
Yeah, my God.
Who is they?
Who is
yeah.
they?
They're there.
This is why
they're
we're
there.
Doing this,
but,
yeah.
yeah, they're up there, bro, you know? Oh, like,
Jesus.
But, you know.
Weren't people saying it was like lasers or some shit? They were.
Space, wait, for LA?
Space lasers?
No, Hawaii.
For Hawaii? No.
She knows.
I'm too dumb to know this shit. My God, that's wild.
I could.
It's crazy, bro. You know.
Yeah, I mean, again, my I'm conspiratorially minded occasionally with certain things, and then other things I tend to think
it could have just been a fire that started on accident. Yeah, it probably
yeah.
was, but
yeah,
that's
no.
not the fun answer.
No, dude, conspiracy theories are so fun,
oh,
dude.
Yeah. They
like,
are.
Come
yeah.
on, like just
yeah.
enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to like
you gotta
dive
live
in.
A little. You gotta live a little. Yeah.
Come on, dude. Like
obviously, no, aliens.
No, the California stuff is absolutely wild, though. So my brother and his fiance live right in there.
Okay,
and it's crazy, like the footage they have of it is insane.
It's gnarly. I mean,
yeah.
it's definitely fucking sad amongst other things.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah. When I
way
was
to bring it down, I'm sorry. No.
When I was
no,
living
no,
in
no,
San Diego,
it's
like,
only up from here, dog.
During my childhood, we had a few different fires, and none of my houses got burnt down. But I had some friends who lost their houses, and yeah, there were some pretty bad ones. It seems like this one is like another level of
oh, for sure,
yeah,
destruction.
Just, so sure. I think for them, they're for, at least I talked to them a couple days ago, but they're in the clear. I think
where are they?
So they are. God, my LA geography is atrocious, but they were very very close.
Uh-huh.
I think they're okay. Like their apartment is okay, but. I believe they're not entirely sure about my brother's workplace. I think that might be gone. I haven't talked to him in a couple of days, but yeah, it.
Where does he
bad.
Work at?
He works in a lab.
Okay.
So yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's a weird feeling. Like I remember there was one time because there's fires all the time around there, but there was one time as a kid, actually probably maybe like 17, 18. My parents got the warning, like, okay, everyone's got to leave because they, you know, they'll drive the trucks through and get everyone out of the
mm-hmm,
neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a strange feeling to be like, all right, this may not be here when we get back. It sounds strange.
Fucking
it's
gnarly.
Actually kind of, it's almost reassuring in a way.
In what way? What do you mean?
In the sense that, I can't even really describe, but there is something rather reassuring about knowing, okay, my person is safe at the moment. I mean, and when I come back, this may not be here
for sure.
There's something weirdly kind of comforting about it, as bizarre as that sounds. There is something I can't even really articulate why, but it's,
yeah, I mean,
maybe it's because I came back and there was a house, you know. But I remember it was that conversation, like, what do you grab in 15 minutes?
What,
you know,
do you grab, and, bro?
Pictures. For me, it was pictures. Like, yeah, my parents, it was things like that. And for me, I grabbed a guitar. It was like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is
you do the Willie Nelson thing, dude. Yeah, you grab trigger and you leave.
Yeah.
Get the fucking axe. Let's get out of here.
No, that's exactly what it was. Like, I grabbed my Gibson. I was like, okay, I'm good. And I think that's where it frankly stems from, is that feeling of, okay, like, I have everything I need.
Well, as it puts it in perspective.
Yeah, it really does. It really,
for sure.
It really,
I did
really
wait
does.
For one of those fires and I grabbed that Strat over there. That was my one thing there I you had to bring.
Yeah, so you're California too, huh?
Yeah, I grew up.
Yeah, he's a real.
You're
he's
where?
A real
where, are you,
California.
Where are you from?
So I lived in SoCal like all through like high school age. Okay. I was so I lived all over growing up, and then my parents got out there when I was 12, and I lived out there till I left for college. So that was like I lived
so
in a bunch
where
of different places.
SoCal?
Carlsbad, it's like right near
San
Diego.
North County.
Yeah, yeah.
I have friends in like Encinitas now.
Oh,
and stuff
nice.
Like that.
Hell yeah, awesome. Yeah, I spent a
they
lot of time.
They did like they were like COVID evacuees or whatever. A lot of my friends from LA just
nice.
Got down there.
Yes, I mean, it really is beautiful. And I think, I obviously still have a ton of friends and family out there. My parents are out there, and then my two brothers are out there. So I go back once or twice a year just to visit and see them. And it is really nice. It's just, it's a very different, and for me, when I got there, I never felt comfortable there. And that's just me. Like, my parents got there. My whole family's from Pittsburgh originally. So, like, all of my extended family, 95% of them are still in Pittsburgh. So that's really kind of home base for the family.
Yeah, for sure.
But my parents got out there. They're like, we love this. We're never leaving. At least my mother. I think my dad could be living elsewhere. But they love it out there. But for me, it never felt like home. I enjoyed it. I had just such a great time at that point in my life. I had great friends. But it was one of those things where it just felt like, I want to leave as soon as I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't even really put my finger on it. It was like, this
sure,
place isn't
for sure.
Now I love it. I love going back. I love going to visit, but
it's a great place to visit.
Exactly.
Dude.
That's kind of best,
super
best
nice
relationship
there,
with it.
Well, that's the problem with LA, is it's such a fun visit for like 4 nights. And you're like, I'm fucking moving here. And then you're like, kind of sucks out here.
Well,
I mean, whatever. I mean, I like
it's just
LA.
It is just
put my time in there.
I've always hated going to LA.
So you said you're SoCal.
Yeah. San Diego.
Yeah.
Like North County. Kind of. Like where, I guess, I'm Escondido, if you know where that is.
I don't know Escondido.
It's like inland. It's not a cool part of San Diego.
Poway.
It's like,
yeah.
Poway, Escondido. It's like basically North County, but like inland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's all really nice. To me, the
20
biggest,
minutes to the beach or something, or 30?
Yeah, 30. 40, yeah. Depending on traffic.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I always found it was a cultural thing. It was the people there were very, very different than what I was accustomed. Because I grew up really on the East Coast and the South. That's mm-hmm. really where I grew up. And so getting out there, I think that was the biggest kind of cultural shell shock, was the people were just very, very different. Which, mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
Like what? What do you notice?
Much less... this is going to sound kind of maybe crueler than it's meant to, but much less kind, much less forward. And I feel like... I was very lucky because I got to see a lot of the country growing up, which was great. And in the South and throughout the East Coast, it's different. I mean, obviously people in Boston are very different than people in North Carolina.
For sure.
But there's a real friendliness to it, and there's mm-hmm. an openness to mm-hmm. the
yeah,
people
definitely.
In all of those places. You know, in Boston, it might be a little more aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
it is a different thing.
Fucking wicked aggressive
exactly.
up there.
But it's just sort of like this openness and just wanting to talk to people and wanting to get to know people and just a really, really, I think there's a really kind nature to so much of this country. And when I got out to California, just that wasn't there.
For sure.
Everyone kind of like doesn't want to look you in the eyes, like that kind of thing. And again,
yeah,
that's,
totally.
You know, gross generalizations, but I also found that all of the people really without exception, maybe I think I had one high school friend that was from California, that was a native. All of my other friends were transplants from other places. So I think a lot of it's just personality more than anything, because mm-hmm. the state itself just is a beautiful,
beautiful place. California's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I spent 10 years out there. I love California. Yeah. Like, I got, you
it's
know.
Stunning. It really is.
Yeah, especially,
I have a soft spot for it in my, my
especially
heart.
Coming back as an adult, you can definitely see why a lot of people want to live there.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's nice.
Oh, for sure.
And then you check your bank account.
Yeah.
So yep. What took you to so many different cities growing up?
My dad's job. I was a Marine Corps brat as a kid. Okay. So yeah, I
lived, Army brat.
Yeah.
There nice.
Go. So yeah, I lived North Carolina. This is not in order. North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania.
Damn, bro. That's a lot.
Probably some more. I'm forgetting. Yeah. And then once we got to California, my family was like, we're never leaving.
So there's a big Navy thing though in San Diego, right?
Yeah,
I mean
yeah.
That's Coronado.
Yeah, so he was mm-hmm. he was when we got
island
out there,
it's like a Navy base, right? The Coronado Island. In,
so
in
a, when we got out there,
I
he was stationed.
Don't think Coronado there. Specifically, but they have okay. a ton of military bases.
Yeah,
out
yeah,
there.
Okay.
So he was stationed at a few different places out there, and then he ended up he retired. This actually, I think it was the same week that I went to college. So that was kind of a big week for my family, you know. Yeah, and then they stuck around. So at this point, we'll see how long they stay. I think my mom's dug in.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Dad's not sold.
No, I think he really does enjoy it. But he's
we're going
he
back
is
to
more,
Pittsburgh, honey. Yeah, right.
No, they've had that conversation, but they just love it too much. You know. I think he's like me. He could be happy just about anywhere. So yeah. I think as long as my mom's happy, they're sticking around. But for some reason, it has my brothers.
How many brothers you got?
Two. So I'm the oldest of four. So my one brother and his fiance live in LA. The other one and his girlfriend are in Santa Cruz, and then my sister's actually out here. So
nice.
Yeah. So it's nice.
In Nashville. Kind
of yeah, in Nashville.
Nice.
So it's been
she
fun.
She
in
music
her
too.
Here. So yes, that's so all of us weirdly enough play music. I'm the only one dumb enough to decide to do this.
Yeah,
with
it was a bad
wife.
Choice.
Yeah, it was
yeah,
a bad choice.
Fucked up.
They all did the smart thing, which is they love music and play music, but they actually have, you know, real things they want to do with their life. So yeah, it was a weird thing growing up too, because neither of my parents were musicians, and then all four of us just loved music and wanted to do it as much as we could. And I don't know where that came from, but mm-hmm. my parents have, you know, they've always loved music, and it's always something that was around the house growing up and that kind of thing, but just was not, wasn't in their blood as players, you know,
for sure.
But yeah, so they're great. My sister's a great bass player. My brother is a really good drummer. My other brother is a great piano player, and just, yeah, it's sort of
dude.
Odd.
You
how
gotta
that
get,
stuff
you gotta
works.
Get the fucking family band going, bro.
Yeah, we do.
You
know? It's been so long. It's been years since we've actually sat, because we used to play together a lot. It's been years since that's happened, but I'm sure at some point or another it's bound to occur. I'll get him
the
on
the Harris
an
family band.
Yeah,
come on,
I'll get it on an album sometime.
More American
there
than
you
that.
Go. There yeah. you go. I'll get it on an album sometime. We'll make it happen.
It'd be real wholesome.
It would be. There you go. See. Yeah. So where's the stuff at? So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because I'm always blown away by this with you. You are so fucking prolific. It is insane to me. The amount
I try to stay busy, yeah.
The amount of material you put out, like quality material that you put out, boggles my mind.
Well, thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
I mean that as the highest compliment I can give you, because so many artists, not only so many artists, regardless of the quality of their work, there's this barrier that people bump up against where they don't want to put it out into the world.
Oh, for sure, bro.
And for you,
yeah,
it's I'm
mental
really,
masturbation.
Really, no, but it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, because you can there's so much of your material out there, and you can really track you can really track all the change of your material over
sure.
time, which I think is really, really fantastic. And something I think we miss out on for other people who hold it close to the chest. Is that something for you that is very conscious that I need to put stuff out regularly? Or is it just what you've found is your routine, that's something you've kind of fallen into?
First of all, thank you. I mean, for me, I'm no stranger to holding things way too close to your chest too, you know, like, I mean, I probably made three or four albums that I never released and probably will never be heard. And then, you know, you get to a point where you're like, the fuck am I doing? You know, I mean, I think when you're younger, you know, there's a perfectionist element to it, but you have to be careful if the perfectionist, the claim of perfectionism or whatever is just an excuse for you to not produce things and put them into the world. I mean, that's, you know, and there's both of those things, but I just got to the point where I was just fucking sick of myself, dude. You know what I mean? It's just like, so I mean, I put out, when I got to town, I put out like just 30 acoustic songs that were just me and a guitar trying to like set the bar super low, you know? And just put it out. And, you know, I mean, I look up to people that are willing to fail in public, you know? So, I mean, if you're comfortable with that, then you're good to go. I mean, you know, there's no...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but also just, I have nothing better to do, you know? I write these songs, and that's part of it, too, you know?
No,
I mean,
really,
if you write them and you want to record them, and just put them out. I mean, you know, until some... You know, suit gives me a briefcase full of money or something. I'm not waiting on that. You know,
I really envy, because I struggle from perfectionism and it does hinder me a lot. I really envy your lack of that. Like when you finished one of those songs, Casey was like, "Oh, should we use that take or the other one?" And you were just like, "Oh yeah, like whichever one you think is best." And
I mean, I
think about it.
Trust you guys. You guys,
if it was me recording a tune, I would have a very strong opinion on what take
you
should
use.
First of all,
we would take 74 takes of your song.
For sure.
Yeah, I do find when I think of through lines that are present in my favorite artists, one of the big ones is this ability to try things and not know if it's going to work or not, but just to take that leap as an artist can be really scary, because you are doing it. If you are putting that out there, you're doing it in public and you're doing it in front of people. And it's something that I really do admire in artists, that ability to just say, this is what I'm doing now. Doesn't mean it's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow.
Totally.
Let's see if it works.
Sure.
And let's see what I get out of that. Like for you, when you're creating, are you cognizant of that, or is that something just sort of happening in the background?
Cognizant of what specifically? Just
of trying new things, or is it just trying to be present?
Definitely trying to be present, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I like to experiment, you know, I like to try different things. Recording is also something that you get better at too.
For sure.
I mean, like, you know, it's like, what is that podcast? Ivor Glass? Is that it? That dude? Remember him? So he's talking about this American Life. You ever listen to that podcast? He's getting, but he just, is that even his name? Regardless, he's talking about like sort of, when you're young, you have taste, and your taste, often as a guitar player or something, like your taste is further along than your ability.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
So you know,
definitely,
you know that there's better shit than what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
You know that.
That's a very interesting point.
But there's always going to be.
There's always going to be.
It's never not going to be the case.
And then the only question thereafter is, you know, how do you close the gap between where you are here and what I can do, and how good, you know, like I'm a fan of music for probably, you know, I mean, I love music and, you know, I've been moved by songs and artists. And so when there's a standard there and you're below the standard, you have to close the gap, and there's no way to close the gap in my, like, you know, if you want to make good records, you're going to have to make some shitty ones, or you're going to have to move through those things. There's no shortcut to like,
and it's like any other
stuff.
It's like any other skill set. You just hit the nail on the head. It's just hours clocked in. And I think that's a really great point that you brought up earlier too. You know, Brian and I've had this conversation. I think we're actually talking about this with Timbo. We might've brought it up a couple of times, but, the skill of performing is a skill in and of itself. Right. But I've never really thought that applies to recording as well, and being someone in a recording studio that is capable of capturing what you want to get. When you're in the studio and you are making music at this present point, because I think like all these things, it changes. what is your approach to capturing the sound that you want to get in that room? How do you lead a group of musicians to get at least in the ballpark of what it is you want to produce?
Well, first of all, with any recording, you want to start with a performance. You know, you have to have, like, you don't want to be polishing turds, you know. You have to have something that has, like, you know, the juju in it. There's something in there. And that doesn't have to be perfect. You know, there's a difference between, like, a perfect music, which can get mathy, mm-hmm. and, like, a perfect feeling. So if the feeling is, you know, perfect, then you can overlook some wonky notes here and there. Like, you know, there's so many recordings I love. Whereas I've gone in the process of recording myself, your ears get better, and you're like, damn, that Neil Young song, like, he flubbed that note. But you didn't notice for the first 20 years of your life, and now you hear it, and it's like, but that's not going to throw anybody off.
Depending on how it's
done,
sometimes it can, you know, those little imperfections can make it even better.
100%, dude. Yeah. You know, it's the human element of performance, you know.
Totally.
But I would say that you try to create a situation where something cool can happen, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, that could be, you know, I don't know, if you need to do a group hug or eat a bunch of mushrooms or whatever people do. Like, I mean, but you have to create an ambiance, and you have to be confident in doing what you're doing. The musicians around you want you to take the lead. They want to follow you.
One of the things, without just sounding like I'm blowing smoke up your ass, one of the things that I think really, really admire in you as a musician, which I think is just viscerally so powerful, to kind of pivot to live performance for a second. When I watch you perform, one of the things that I think is really admirable about the way that you do it is you lead a band. There are some people who get up there in front of a band, and whether or not they're timid, it can be, you can see the band sort of follow behind them skeptically. Mm-hmm. Whereas with you, it always feels like there is a captain at the helm of the ship. Mm-hmm. And whether it's just physical movements you make to lead the band,
it's a great way to do it.
Exactly. Whatever it might be. And from watching you perform quite a bit, there's not a one trick pony here. There's a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. How did you find in your life, when did you become aware as a musician that that's a skill set you need to start working on? Cause you're really fucking good at it.
That's honestly something that I haven't really, see, it's funny with the Timbo thing, Timbo's the best. I love that dude. He's amazing. I've been covering a bunch of his songs lately. Oh. That Saddle song we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
But Timbo is like, I mean, he's the Marlboro man, dude. It's like unbelievable. You're like, is this dude real? He's just so, but it is real. You're like, is this a thing? Like,
when Timbo was sitting in your seat, I had this exact same conversation with him. Cause I told him, like, when I've known Timbo for more than 6 years now. Closer to 7 years probably. When I met him, I was like, this is an act, right? This has to be an act. And the more...
It's not.
No, it's not. And then one day I was like, fuck, dude. This is just who this guy is. This is fantastic.
100%. And that's what he is. And he's, you know, I can lead a band musically, especially with an electric guitar, just because, you know, you can turn that shit up whenever you want to. Like, I don't lead the band with an acoustic guitar either, you know, like, so... If things are getting squirrely, I can turn it up and get things really back or go out or whatever. But, you know, Timbo is just the consummate performer of, like, song and dance, man, sounds bad, but it's classic. It's a classic thing.
That's exactly what
I'm talking about. And, like, engagement with the crowd and, like, you know, acknowledging, you know, breaking the wall of the audience. And, you know, that is something that when I'm in it, I'm just in the music, you know? Yeah. So musically, I don't think I ever focused consciously on leading a band in that way, but just being super into the music of it and being present. I think in that way, things have just kind of come together, but I I beat myself up about, you know, not talking to the audience, and well, it's hard, dude. It's almost like, you know, that's a bridge I have to cross, you know, because you know, you want to acknowledge people, but you know, I also grew up in the 90s where it's like Kurt Cobain's like, fuck you, you know, like just do it. It's almost like, I was over at Dustin's place last night, Bothell, mm-hmm. you had on.
Yeah, yeah.
Great songwriter.
Love Dustin.
Yeah. He's producing that record that I'm working on now.
Yes, so I want to talk about that some more.
And Tebs is over there and Alex Buchanan, and we're just talking, and, you know, that bridge to cross is something that I think takes performance to the next level. However, in a way, I almost look at it like sports analogies are weird, but you're just doing the thing, you know, like it's so sensitive, you know, and it's really like, but you're, you know, you're in the music sometimes talking and doing this, hey, thanks for coming out, you know, tip your bartenders, you know, it's like that thing is like, it just seems unimportant compared to the gravity of the music and what you're saying. And
absolutely.
It's like, the fuck am I going to say? Like, I'm saying it. Like, I'm saying what I want to say.
You're doing the thing.
You're doing the thing. So then to explain the thing away
I think the only way I can think to describe it, because it is such a difficult thing to, it feels like trying to grasp at smoke when you're trying to describe it. For me, I have found for myself, the way that I, because I'm very, very comfortable on a stage. That's just where I feel. I enjoy that feeling of being on a stage and that play with an audience. But the place that I got to in life is I found that I could be myself on stage when I was being a character in the song. And what I found.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about this too.
Weirdly enough,
the character take on it.
I found like if I'm up there singing, if I'm up there performing as this character, when I'm not playing and I'm just standing on stage, somehow I felt more free to be myself. Whereas prior to that, there is that kind of icky feeling of like, why am I? They don't care what I have to say right now in between songs while I'm tuning or telling the drummer, remember this one's got hits in the bit, like what, you know, like they don't give a shit.
For sure.
And I don't know why that is, but I do find in the last handful of years, since I've really made that conscious pivot, when I go up and do it the way that I do it now, I do feel as though I can be more myself on stage, and there doesn't need to be that. It's always performance, right? That's the thing that's difficult. We were talking about this with Sweet Meg when she was here. It's always performance. That's the thing you can never forget. Like the moment you step on stage, the moment you step off stage, it is a show. Mm-hmm. But I feel like within the proscenium of that show, I can be myself now, which is a strange, it seems almost counterintuitive, but everyone gets there differently, and performers like Timbo, I find, have cracked that code somehow.
It's a beautiful thing. It's really something that I look up to. You know what I mean? Like it's something that's worth aspiring to in a certain way. And every artist is different. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to be the, you know, chop it up on stage guy, really. But I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who can get people engaged and make them feel like they're, you know, make the room feel good. And that, and some people can really do it with talking and, you know, saying hello to everybody. And that's an approach. It's definitely not my approach though.
Yeah. And it's a sensitive thing. Like, I've been blessed in my life to have seen Ramblin' Jack Elliott quite a few times. And he's one of those people who, it's probably on the other end of the spectrum from yourself where like he'll be up there and like, anytime he plays, I am all ears for every note, but he'll get up there and start talking. I think you don't even need to play right now. I'll listen to stories for the next 3 hours. I'm good. You know?
Totally.
And it's just because as his name would entail, that's just who he is. And that's the pivotal thing is, it just has to be true to who you are as a person.
It has to be authentic, for sure.
I think an audience can smell when it's not. Bro, and the second they do is they turn it on.
They 100% can.
Okay. And it totally depends on
people can feel when things aren't authentic. And so, you know, I've been in rooms. I've seen, I mean, how many bands have we all seen?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, you know, there is cringy stuff with like the gab in between if you're not comfortable.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
I'm just like, and ugh, I think it's uncomfortable. Why would you say that? You know, kind of like self-deprecating things that happen. Yeah, yeah.
There
you know,
nothing worse.
Well, we didn't rehearse this, so like we're just gonna. And it's like, well, dude, like, yeah. you don't need to say
no,
that.
No, embrace
you know,
it. It's just, that is my recording.
Like, you yes. just set yourself up like you're just making excuses that for it falling apart yes. before it does, or something.
Like
it's
doing
just,
a thing where you're trying to like set the bar low for an audience. It's like, dude, come on, don't do that.
You know, like. You know, everyone.
Then you're losing before you even play the song.
For sure.
Yeah.
For
exactly.
sure.
No, that's
you know?
A very
and
good
that's
point.
Just fear, honestly. You know, I mean, who rehearses in Nashville anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, not me.
Very true.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to rehearse more.
Yeah.
I mean, in a certain way, but you know, that's the best part about being here is you can just show up and play. Most that's people true. Can. You know?
Yeah. No, it is. That is one of the things that. It's one of the. Parts of living in Nashville that's so wonderful that I think we all take for granted to a certain degree after living here for so long. The fact that the bar of musicianship is where it is at.
Bro, it's so high.
It's ridiculous.
It's badass. It's
and you don't even think twice about it in many a situation. And it's something that I do have to check in with myself on a regular basis because it is so beautiful. And
it is
such a great
really
part
is.
Of living here.
It's funny, like, you know, living in New York, living in LA and San Francisco and all over the place. Austin for a year when I was younger. It's like, you know, some of the problems that I would have in bands, not problems, but just, you know, whatever issues to overcome is like, in some of those places, New York, LA or whatever, people have really good aesthetic sort of taste. So the players aren't always quite as good, mm-hmm. but they get cool tones out of their guitar. There's a cool, they know sort of, how to make things feel good and sound good for sure. Mm-hmm. But there's a lack of like that knowledge of like, you know, the number system or being able, like the problem here is a little different in that everyone's so good that I'm like trying to like loosen people up more.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
saying? Like everything's so, everyone's very accomplished here. And so my job is more to like, fucking yeah. shake it, like loosen up a little bit. Like yeah. you don't have to, because and that's a different problem than other places. You know, I'm like in other places, I'm like, dude, we got to tighten this fucking shit
you
up. You know
songs.
What I mean? Like, guys, we got to learn the songs. Yeah, but here it's like
get no, less.
You
tight.
Know the song.
Yeah,
I want to
get less
you.
Tight. Exactly. Yeah. Like yeah. make it breathe a little more or something like that.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
There are people who can do that very well. I mean, speaking of Sweet Meg earlier, she was actually saying something very very similar when she was here, and a lot of what she finds she does as a band leader is to do exactly that. Kind of like get everyone loose and get everyone playing with each other and being present.
For
and
sure.
I think that is a huge component of being a great band leader is just getting your band to listen to one another.
For sure.
As opposed to just, you know, knowing the parts is great. That's important. It's another thing to be wholly present with each other. And like, that's where the magic happens. For me, at least, that's where I find the magic is 100%. Just incredible music. But
Meg's a fucking monster, dude.
Oh yeah. She's great.
She's like,
it was cool. It was really cool seeing. I actually said a very similar thing to her that I said to you, which was I never really hear her play. Excuse me, solo. So it was really great to hear her play
for
just
sure.
her and a guitar because that's
for
just
sure.
something I never really experienced. So
she's got so much range. It's like she's one of the rangiest people out here.
Yeah, she's got
a
voice.
Oh, I mean a voice, but like her bag in terms of song, like. She's got her jazz thing over
yeah.
here. She's got her country thing over here.
No,
she's got her indie band over here. I mean, she's awesome.
Do you ever feel like living in Nashville? Do you ever feel as though you are pigeonholed creatively?
Not at all.
No?
Honestly, no.
Good.
I really don't.
Good.
I mean, I think there's just so many things. I mean, I feel like a kid in a candy shop here, dude. I really do. Oh, I just think, like, you know, if you have songs and, you know, you want to set up some recording dates or book some shows, there's a ton of motherfuckers that are mm-hmm. ready to go. I mean, that are, you yeah. know, your third, fourth call guys are like
yeah,
better than, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
for
they'd
sure.
be first calls in different cities. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I just feel like, I mean, since I've been here, I feel liberated creatively for sure.
That's
you know,
fantastic.
I feel like anything I want to make, I can make here. That's, mm-hmm. that's for sure. You know,
nice.
You know,
So. Yeah, it is a great feeling to know that the guy bagging your groceries at Kroger is probably a better guitar player than
dude,
you.
Dude, it's
yeah.
all over the
it
way.
It really is a it great, is. It is a great feeling, and there's something really humbling and beautiful about it. For sure. Living here.
I mean, what about you guys? I mean, do you feel that way too? Do you feel like creatively?
I would so much rather free? Be the little fish in a big pond. Mm-hmm. I feel like it just does something for you creatively that, yes, you could be the big kahuna elsewhere. And I'm sure that does also have its benefits that goes along with it. But
right.
I prefer.
Well, if the goal's getting better.
Exactly.
Then you,
yeah. It's like for me, it's all just about the love of doing the thing. Mm-hmm. At this point in my life, that's not to say that I've given up on the outcome. But I've kind of given up. At this point, it's like
I do it because I love it. Exactly. I mean, we could, like, what the fuck?
At this point, I do it because I love it. And because I want to get, it's because I want to get better at it. And mm-hmm. I want to continue to go down that path of obsession.
For sure.
And this really facilitates that.
For sure.
Where other places, I don't think would in the same way.
For sure.
So yeah.
And that's a different mindset. Like it's, you know, there's the mindset of winning at all costs, whatever that means to you, or the mindset of learning.
Yeah.
And so when you're surrounded by people like we are here, I mean, mm-hmm. You get better by, you know, osmosis, just being
sure.
close to these things, you know, like
just the music you can go out and listen to. Like we might, Mark Thornton's playing over at Underdog after this, and we might go take a listen to that. It's like,
oh, nice.
Just the fact that stuff is that every I can drive 10
week,
minutes
dude.
And go watch Mark Thornton play at Underdog with 10 people. You know what I mean? Like that's insane.
It's wild.
It's
dude.
Unbelievable.
It really is.
Yeah,
it really is. Like, so, and the thing that's really cool about this place too, is the accessibility to everyone as well.
Mm-hmm.
People are around.
Yeah.
Bro, you could call Mark and get him to play on your record next week if you wanted to. Like, I mean, Jerry Reed's guitar player, like, mm-hmm. are you kidding me? You know?
Yeah, yeah, not many other cities
hey,
you can do that.
Yeah, I remember quite a few years ago, I was talking to Sterling Drake, who's a songwriter, used to be based out of here, and he was saying how he cut a tune and Charlie McCoy came on and played harmonica. And I just about shit my pants when he sure. said that. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Charlie McCoy came on and played harp for your fucking song.
Fucking badass.
Like, that is the coolest thing in the fucking world.
It is. It is. Totally. And it's doable. I mean, it's,
yeah,
you know,
no, absolutely.
I mean, bro, I was in the studio with Dustin and me. We're doing overdubs on a thing for the record we're working on together. He's producing it, my stuff, and I mean, we had Billy Contreras in the studio, fiddle player.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Do you know this dude?
Contreras is a Billy beast.
I don't think so. No.
I mean, you know, the genius I'll word gets thrown around way too liberally.
Yeah,
but that dude is pretty much like. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, we, you know, it was like a really stripped down piano and upright bass song.
Mm-hmm.
And he just spent 4 hours in the studio building out this whole arrangement. That
That's
is like
amazing.
Masterful, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, this is crazy. So talk about perfectionists. So he's in the studio for like 4 hours going through the, you know, doing this arrangement stuff. Highly sensitive, like he doesn't waste any motion, like he's yeah. very surgical, and he leaves the studio after 4 hours. He's like, I got a gig. He's like, where? I'm like, where are you playing? He's you know, playing the Opry or whatever, you know, of course. So he's like, all right guys, gotta go to the Opry. So he's on his way to the Opry from the studio, and he calls Drew, mm-hmm. who I work with, Drew Carroll over Bomb Shelter. He's a great engineer. And he calls Drew and goes, hey man, so I can come back after the gig and rework a couple of these little things here and there. I've just been listening to the song on my way over here, and you know, if you want me to come back, I can. And Drew's like, we didn't give you a bounce of the song. Like, what are you listening to? He's like, he's got it playing in his head, driving to his, I mean, like, we were like,
amazing.
What the fuck,
jeez.
Dude? And we're like, you're good, bro. Like,
we got it. It's in the can.
We got it. Like, you know, no, enjoy the gig.
It's,
like,
to me,
wild.
I mean,
it's wild, dude. Like,
and to me, that is,
That is one of the beautiful things about living here and also just doing this. Those are the people that I would absolutely love to have in the seat. Like that's why I think this is such
a totally, I mean, I think he's a very private dude, but he's an amazing
but guy. I guess I use that as an example just because there are certain people, let's say the big stars of the music industry. Yeah, I'm sure that would be really fascinating to sit down and pick their brain. But to me, the people like Billy Contreras or like Charlie McCoy or whomever it might be, those
Rory
are the people.
Hoffman?
Exactly. Those are the people that I think, guy is God, that would insane. Be just incredible.
What is insane. Up with that dude?
Yeah.
He's playing guitar, like, on his lap, like this.
Whistling.
Fingering like it's a piano with his hands like this.
That's.
I mean, it's like.
He's one of those dudes that just blows my mind every time I see a clip of him.
It
like, geez.
Absurd, that guy. I mean, yeah, bro, really someone should make a documentary about that guy.
For sure.
Can you imagine how cool that documentary would be? I've that's been in my head for a while. If I ever step into the. He'd be my first. I mean, yeah. I just want to go see how that guy lives. Like, how does he, you know? Because, I mean, he's blind, so it's a very interesting life. I mean, when I was working the door at Roberts, he'd have the WeGo bus come out, and they'd drop him off, and people are helping him. Like, I mean, it's just so touching that he's that incredible. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, it's
he plays like 27 instruments or something, you know.
That's insane. That is insane.
And he's good at all of it. It's not even like he
it's
doesn't
not like
have,
he plays 20. He plays 27 instruments, yeah.
Crazy dude. Yeah, the clarinet. I've heard him kill it on that. Guitar, bass. That guy's amazing.
Who are your favorite songwriters?
I mean, you know, like popular music people. I mean, you know,
just in general.
I mean,
I think
Bob Dylan's the best songwriter of all time.
Obviously,
we can just move on from
two, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's definitely the GOAT of songwriting. It's just absurd. I mean, you know, but you know, Towns and I mean Joni Mitchell. You know, I like a lot of writers that are around right now. Like, you know, I mean, part of this whole thing with the times a changing. Is that, you know, I used to think that the best songwriters were the ones that you heard on the radio, and that's just not true. I've just lived, I've been around too many campfires and too many weird Absolutely. Art scenes, and like, I've heard songs that are Totally. Just like, and that no one will ever hear, you know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. I have friends who are incredible songwriters that don't play out and don't, but they're just as inspiring, if not more, than anything mm-hmm. I hear on the radio or any Absolutely. Records I'll play or anything like that. So, I mean, you know, Dustin Bothwell, great writer, Jessie Gray here in town. I'm producing her record right now. Noah Nash is another guy I'm producing who's fantastic.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Dylan Warnick, one of my favorite writers in town. You know, my friend Arlene from HR Lexi. There's just a lot of, you know...
Yeah,
I'm that's why I think this is badass what you guys are doing, because it's like, fuck the mainstream. Seriously, dude. Like, I mean, you know, like part of it is like, you know, what are you aiming at? What's it all for? Which is what we all go through, mm-hmm. and it's like, uh-huh. man, like you want to want what you already have. Like when I stop and look around at the people around me, like they're as badass as. Whoever the new band on the
that's a really
national
beautiful, that's
scale
a beautiful
is,
way of saying that. That really is.
Oh, it's true though. Absolutely. Like, that's the thing. Is like my friends write better songs than I hear on the radio.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So fuck it. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
that's a pretty low bar. The stuff on the radio these days is
which is fair.
That's a whole nother can of worms.
Which is fair. Open,
but, yeah. Who do we hate the most? No,
well, and that's also the whole
Who's
thing.
Who's your least favorite song?
God, dude. Fucking Coldplay. That one record, though, it is actually, you know, as much shit as those guys get.
That one.
A Rush of Blood to the Head.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, well, it's hard to knock good stuff. Like, even if it's not your thing, you know, I mean, there's plenty of, you know, pop music isn't easy to write either.
Oh.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's its own art form and
its own thing. And there's formulas, but there's also formulas to root music. I mean,
for sure.
You know, I mean, we're operating in the 3 to 3.5 minute realm of like, I like that system. You know, like I don't want to fight the system. I want to like, go, I want to go with that. You know, if it works, there's a reason why it works. You know, first chorus, solo, chorus out. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that I've just heard too many good songs that are like that.
Yeah. So, you know. And it's I think as you get more into music and learn, like, kind of learn about it on like a deeper level, it frustrates me the lack of variation in a lot of popular music.
For
like
sure.
you want to hear that thing that's kind of weird and
for sure.
Whereas like, yeah, pop music just follows such a strict form and
it does.
Everything sounds like everything else. And yeah, like I want to hear something a little out there, like, you know,
definitely.
Experimental, someone taking a chance on something. And you just, you know, you don't hear that as much with, you know, stuff playing on the radio.
No, you don't. You don't.
And I think there's a difference as well between really attempting to master a particular skill in music, or trying to master a particular subset of music, right? Whether it is that form or this form, whatever it might be. There's a difference between that, which I think is incredibly admirable and something that I really respect, but between that and laziness. And I think what often leaves a cruddy taste in the mouth of musicians when it comes to popular music is it feels like it's the latter oftentimes.
Right.
It feels like when you listen to a lot of contemporary popular music, and this has probably always been the case to some degree, it doesn't feel like those who are creating it are really refining a skill set of working within that particular field. It feels like laziness. Now, obviously that's a gross generalization, and there are people who work within that field who are incredibly skilled at writing pop songs and producing pop songs and performing pop songs. But I do agree, Brian, there is something that, and I don't think this is exclusive to pop music either. I think this happens in country music. I think it happens in all forms of music where you can just taste the laziness. You're like, this isn't for me.
For sure.
I don't think it's necessarily lazy. I think it's just like most people don't really get into music like as in depth as like people like us who, you know, music is our thing. And like pop music is just designed for those people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For
it's
sure.
It's meant to appeal to people who enjoy music on a very surface level.
Yeah. You're casting the widest net possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you lose quality when you cast a wide net.
For yeah, sure.
When
for
you
sure,
scale,
100%.
You know, when you scale things, you need to be very cognizant of the potential of ruining the authentic thing that you have, you know, and everyone's always trying to go big and I don't know.
And there's something too. I mean, just in this, there's something to the moment in history that we're living in as well, which I've talked a little bit about on here, but I find it to be a very fascinating moment for the music industry because everything is a click away on your phone. Mm-hmm. Everything is that you have access to all of the music of the last 120 years. I mean, it's all there. It's
mind-blowing.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, as a consumer, it's incredible.
It's incredible as a consumer. It's incredible as a creative person. And what I find so interesting about this particular moment is what I believe is beginning to transpire and will only accelerate as time goes on is everyone is working within their own little bubble. You as a creative person, your output as a creative person is the lump sum total of all of this stuff that you're bringing in, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas as someone who, my great fascination in life along with songwriting is tracking of music and
the anthropology of it.
And that is something that we're entering a new phase where that's not really going to be present in the same way anymore.
How do you mean? Why do you say that?
Because everything is now hyper personalized to you as a consumer and as an artist. Mm-hmm. Whereas over time, you know, if we go back 70 years, we could track not just the geographical movements of people and the music they brought with them, but we could know, okay, what radio stations did they have access to? Right. And that's why, like, as a culture, these things were much larger scale, right? That's why rock and roll shows up, I don't want to say everywhere, but it shows up just about everywhere in this country within about 4 years. It's because it's the ingredients are all there. And
what do you mean?
Everyone's getting the same ingredients at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so with slight variation, obviously, but the ingredients are coming to, they're being thrown in the pot at roughly the same time, roughly the same way. Right. And so there's a sort of homogeny that's occurring within these different places throughout the world, right? Mm-hmm. Just to use America as an example mm-hmm. of this. And that's why something like rock and roll shows up when it does. People think it just shows up out of nowhere. It's like, no, it's all of these ingredients had to fall in place at the right time.
For sure.
You know, you had to have the stove at the right temperature, right? All those things had to occur. Whereas now what's interesting is we don't really have that. Now everyone has their own exactly every yeah. You get to listen to whatever the hell you are interested in listening to. I get to listen to whatever the hell I'm interested in, and Brian gets to do the same. And what happens is the output that we then get as creative people are vastly different. And what I find is occurring, which I think is so fascinating about music at this point in time, is the only way that if we want to call it big music, but whatever you want to say,
yeah, yeah.
The only way you can counter that is to cast the widest net possible. So whereas popular music in the past was, yes, still popular music, but there was more variety there. There was more difference in popular music.
For sure.
Whereas now, sure. The only thing you can do to counter that is to cast the widest possible net and make the that bullseye in the center as big as possible. Whereas what's so fascinating is all of the other music that is so idiosyncratic and hyper specific to the person creating that, everything else is on the fringes of that bullseye. That's where all the interesting stuff is happening, and there's so much of it.
Yeah. That's totally the case. And I find artists are trying to, you know, I don't like casting a wide net, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's better to be personal. It's better to, like, really dig into what makes you different and weird.
Totally.
And, like, that's where the gold is, I find, you know? You know, even in terms of guitar players, like, I mean, and you're a 7-string guitar player, so...
You know, sometimes I am, yeah.
But dude, I mean,
I play normal guitars too.
And again, like, there's levels of skill, right? And there's levels of competency. But like, how many boring guitar players are there?
Oh,
that literally like don't even have a voice with it too. You know, like, and that's not a critic. Like, I'm not here to talk shit, but I'm here to certainly like observe what's going on and avoid that. Like, want to like just be playing the same licks as other people. Like, you have to figure out a way to put yourself into it, you know? Mm. And if you're just learning other people's licks and you're practicing all the time,
yeah,
I don't think you can get there. I think you need to take yourself on a journey and you need to dig within yourself. Like, I mean, who's stopping you from inventing your own scales like today? I mean, like, there's no...
Yeah.
But people get all in their head about worrying about being good or that, you know, and
totally.
I understand that, you know.
No, I've been there for sure.
Dude, I've been consumed and concerned with that in the past, for sure. But
it's hard to find your own voice.
It is. But you have to, like, for me, some people, I mean, you have to figure out a way to influx it within your personality is what you have to do. Because there's no, you know, there's some people, you know, I mean, like Thurston Moore and Lee Ranaldo of Sonic Youth. Like, I mean, how many licks of other people are they learning? Maybe, you know, I don't know. But they seem like guys who just come out of the gates and just do what they do. And they're not trying to measure up to other guitar guys.
Yeah.
And they're like two of the most creative, they're guitar heroes by not trying to be, in a way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I think you need to really focus on, like, you know, it's good to consume things, but sometimes you just got to put things away and like
just
silence
live in your
things
own
and like
world,
what?
Yeah,
you know, and you know, there's a time and a place for that, and I think it's good to take yourself on those journeys to find your sound, to find what you're doing.
When Chris Weisbecker, was on here.
Oh, yeah, the wise man.
Yeah, the wise man. When he was on here, your name came up. And one of the things that we were discussing about with yourself is that you have such a distinct voice as a guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, bro. Have you gotten that?
I mean, I think playing. Yeah, I mean, really, you know, I mean, there's practice and there's playing, and the two are not the same thing. And, you know, you want to be serious and professional, so you want to get your hands and, you know, in shape and things like that. But at the same time, you need to, you know, I'll lock myself in certain boxes, you know, like I'll just stay, like I'll literally, like I will play between two chords for hours. Initially it's boring. You want to go somewhere else, but if you just don't let yourself out of this thing, like if you stay in like D mm-hmm. and A,
there is something
happens at some point. There's a switch, and then you're in like a flow thing.
My thing, I've been like trying to learn a lot of jazz standards and stuff lately, and lately I find one of the best ways to like find new ideas and get better and really get in a strong creative state is I will play the same tune for like 45 minutes.
Bro, and for sure.
The reason is when you play how you would normally play, you know, just playing through one or two choruses, right? Like you have like you're doing all your stock ideas, like this lick you always do, and right. But when you really force yourself to
when you exhaust stay all there, those things, yeah, when you're done
you,
with
you
that,
eventually
that's
get
when
to
it gets
a point where you're out of all the ideas that you normally do, and it kind of forces you, and it almost puts you in like this meditative state,
100%, dude,
where you'll find that these like brand new ideas that you've never done before just start coming out of nowhere. And yeah, like I've been there where I'm like, I'll practice one thing for like a really long time and like stay in it for like an hour.
And don't let yourself out, bro. You just stay in there. No, it's cause I mean, that's like there's a dude, there's like flow triggers, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I read this book, it's a cheesy title, but it was called like Becoming Superman, probably like 10 or 12 years ago in New York or something. And there's a dude that he checking me. I forget his name, honestly, but he was a predecessor to these guys writing this book back in the 70s. He came up with like flow triggers, you know, mm-hmm. and part of it is like limiting yourself, which is countered like psychologically, like we want to be free artists, you know, out here. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you need to like lock, like, because what happens is I think naturally when you lock yourself in, any cage animal's trying to get out. So it's like eventually you start trying to push on the boundaries of it, and then you're kind of playing on the edge of your ability, which is exciting. Like from a playing standpoint, and honestly as a listener, like when I hear people where like their mind is slightly beyond their ability to do it, it's the most fucking touching thing in the world, dude.
All of my favorite moments of music. The thing I think is the most powerful about music is music in the present. That moment when music has to be in the present, when everyone is locked in, and you don't know where you're going, but you're just following. And it can happen with one person with a guitar. It can happen with a whole band. It can happen with an orchestra. But when there is that awareness, that hyper awareness of the present, I think that's absolutely incredible in music. And all of my favorite moments in music, whatever they may be, is exactly that. They are those moments where those musicians are pushed to the edge of what their abilities are. And it's like, you don't know if the ship will hold. Mm-hmm. It's that excitement is this going to work, or is it
where
all going to go up in flames?
You're trying to hang on to the bowl for 8 seconds or whatever
it is. That is the most beautiful, to me, it's the most beautiful feeling in art.
It is.
There's nothing comparable to that in art as to when a band, an orchestra, a singular musician is pushing themselves to that breaking point, and you don't know what's going to happen. It's like you want to grab the edges of your, you want to grab your seat. You don't, there is nothing like that.
No,
I think it's so beautiful.
It's exciting to be in a band like that as well. You know, like it's that's a good aim, you know, but foundations, you know, just to get back to the guitar player thing, you know, really, really fundamentally sound shit, you know, like as a bed to blast off from is just, I find that to be huge, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, once I realized that like soloing over a song or whatever, pretty much all the notes that I want to hit are in the chord of the, I'm like, oh
yeah,
I'm like, great. You know, then it's just like how you want to weave it and connect it. But like, it's not, there ain't no mystery. Like it's right there in the chord. It's, you know, a lot of times the melody that you're trying to pick out is the root, the third or the fifth or, you know, whatever, you know, jazz is a little bit different, you know, that's high level harmony stuff. That, but
a lot of fundamentals are still there. A lot more tensions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a listener of jazz, but I don't, you know, I don't really step to it like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a very limited,
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong
with that. Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
it's hard. Yeah.
It's just a different bag, you know, it's like anything.
Still
it's like,
trying to figure it out.
Yeah. It's, I mean, country music, there's nothing worse than, someone trying to play a country guitar part that can't do it. It's the same thing. It's just a different skill set.
It is.
And some people, it might seem, other styles of music may seem easier on paper, but the execution of those things are equally as difficult. It's just the skill set of making that sound right too. I mean, it's a balance. It's a balance to be able, I find, to have the skills to play in that particular style. And it's a balance to find the skills to play as oneself.
Sure.
And it's a constant,
It is both.
Yeah.
It is both of those
things.
Find
that balance.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, do you practice regularly? Are you guys both like, you're learning jazz tunes?
I try to practice every day.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the goal. Sometimes I fail to do that, but
for sure.
I try to.
No, you're pretty
I try to do
routine.
At least like an hour a day at a minimum, you know, ideally more, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's also hard for people too, because there is a difference between, as you said earlier, there's a difference between playing and practicing, and you need to, like anything, find that balance. There are certain things that you will acquire through practice that will come quicker than through playing, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And you need to find what it is specifically for yourself that you need to pull out of the instrument.
I think you definitely need to play, like almost practice playing, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Agreed, dude.
Because I've gone through stages in my life where I'm practicing like crazy, but I practice so much, I forget how to play almost, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense, dude.
Yeah, like
it definitely does.
You'll start to lose that kind of creative element. And yeah, I think you really do have to have, you know, ideally play more than the practice is important, but you also have to keep playing.
For sure.
As a teacher, I find that's the...
And you have to give yourself, you know, it's almost like you have to take playing like very seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes if you're just playing, you're kind of in your head, you can be like, well, I should be fucking running these things over here. I should be learning these high harmony, you know, I could be... But I think making that play be sacred in what you need to do.
Totally. I think it's just
crucial. You need to give
just as important, if not more important, than the practice.
And especially with developing a voice.
You need both, but you have to.
Well, I mean, and again, like, what are you practicing? Like, because the problem is like, if you're talking about, you don't want to practice the same shit as everyone else, because then you're going to sound like everyone else.
Yeah.
So you have to, even within your, dude, you can invent your own practices. Like, I have things I do that, like, I don't think anyone else does, you know? But that stokes me, because then I'm like, all right, well, if I'm doing this, then, like, you know, hopefully I won't sound like anybody else. Or
What kind of stuff?
I mean, like, I'll do chromatic stuff. I have weird, like, numerology shit with, you know, I could show you, but I mean, it's just like, you know, chromatic stuff with your fingers.
like patterns that you like, kind of go to.
Like,
and is that for like technicality sake or like
just to make sure my hands kind are of moving right? Yeah, it's not really like it's, you know, it's almost like for me it takes a long time to get into things. So like when I pick up a guitar, I'll just do these certain drills I do with something, listen to something, or kind of passively just to get things warmed up. Because like the frustrating thing is I used to get frustrated by not things not happening right away when you pick up a guitar.
Yeah.
Which is a huge mistake that I figured out later. It's like, dude, you need to sit with this for at least an hour before anything interesting starts happening. Mm-hmm. So whatever I need to do, just kind of warm it up. Like there's no pressure to have something cool happen right when I pick it up. And that's like freeing. You know what I mean? That's really like, okay, nothing's going to happen for a while and that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, like
a lot of times in, you know, playing professionally, that is kind of what you have to do, like in the instance of like playing a gig. So like, you know, like I was saying about practicing one thing for a very long time, like, you know, the good, you know, if you're practicing something for an hour straight, like, you know, the last 30 to 45 minutes, that's when all the good shit starts coming
100%.
And that's what you want to come out when you're at the gig, but you know, you don't have an hour to like have that shit start coming out. No. So like, how do you get that
sometimes you don't. I mean, like, you know, like
that's the hard part though, is like, you know, getting in that state of mind, you know, right from the beginning.
For sure.
It's hard to figure that part out.
That like all of these things is a skill set in and of itself, to be able to go up on stage and have the first song be as connected as the last song, because there's a little bit of, it's like heating the car up. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like it takes a little time to get it there.
It totally is. You got to preheat the oven.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You
know, there you go.
Before you start baking your buns.
So where is the new record at currently? What is the current state of things?
So, I'm working on something over at Bomb Shelter. I just mastered something that I did. I was telling you before the podcast that was, I just went into Bomb Shelter with my buddy Drew Carroll, who works over there, who's rad. And, you know, I've been playing with so many musicians for the past 4+ years being here, and wanted to just try to do something a little bit different. You talked about experimentation, so that's a good example. I mean, definitely running myself through experiments where it's like, again, just setting up, you know, limitations, you know.
Yeah.
Which the limitation for this was just me, you know. So guitars, pianos, electric acoustic guitars, tons of vocal harmonies.
That's really cool.
So just finished that record. That just got mastered.
When do you have a release set for that?
Probably like
yet?
June.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You know, so I'm going to take a little time, and I don't know, man. You got to do something with these releases these days, you know. The guy with the briefcase hasn't showed up yet, so it's like you got to do some cheesy content or something. Or hey, everybody got an album coming out here.
That's why.
Would you mind pre-saving the link if you don't mind?
That's the main reason why I really want to do this with the new songs and not have me attached to it anyway, because then I don't have to actually deal with any of that shit.
Dude, I hear you.
It'd be fun to just kind of like come up with a bunch of ridiculous shit and throw it out there.
Yeah.
And, yeah. That's really the main reason, is just out of laziness. You know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, dude, you have to figure out, so again, it's the same as guitar too. If we're going to have to, you know, it's so easy to be like, oh, everything's fucked these days. But the fact that we can connect with anyone instantly, it's mind blowing. So the ball's in your court with that. I don't love it, to be honest with you, the online thing. But, you know, at the same time, it is an opportunity to try to figure out how to do something cool and creative. You know, I'm not a huge fan of music videos, quite honestly. You know,
I mean, I'm going to be honest, I despise music videos.
Well, dude, it's just not what music is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like music. The coolest part about music is like, some of them you can't grab it and you can't see it.
Yeah.
You know,
some of them are cool. Most of them are pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, and I understand the world is visual, and certainly like the world of our phones is visual, you know, but, you know, yeah, you've got to do something, you know, try to make it, you know, somewhat of a big deal amongst your community or whatever. Let people know what you're doing.
Somehow get the word out.
Yeah. You know, But that's not one of my strong suits. I like making the stuff. I don't know, you know, yeah. I don't know how that's, to release
that's
it. Myself
yeah, that's myself as well. That's a hard part of being a musician these days. Kind of a necessary evil that a lot of people don't like doing, myself included.
Yeah, I know.
It's yeah, that's why, honestly, it's funny. I don't mind doing all of that for the show because it seems it's so different.
Well, it's selfless, bro. There's a service element here.
Absolutely.
Like where you're absolutely. Like, you're providing me, you're using your platform to highlight me.
Yeah.
And like, there's that feels good. Involved.
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
cool. Like,
exactly.
Like, you know, like
much easier than like doing something purely for myself because yes, I'm like, yeah,
of course,
it's
dude.
For you know, another person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels better. You're doing like totally. The right thing. You're doing something cool. It's like, I want to talk about all my friends and like, you exactly. know what I'm saying? Cause it's just like, that's where it's at. It's not, you know, the rat race of like, I don't know, dude. Like, I don't even think these pop stars, like, I don't even think any of it looks good.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think everyone's like,
some people do, obviously.
Some people do. And that's fine. But for me, I'm just sort of like, it's like, you know, begging to get an invite to like the Diddy party. You're like, exactly. I don't want to go.
Like, I'm good.
I'm good, man. Like, you know, like where, you know, exactly. like where the aim like toward to going there is just like, well, to where exactly? And why? Like, I can't even really name people. Like, I look up to my friends more than I look up to anything mm-hmm. that totally. I see in the mainstream. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's great writers, and, you know, there's.
And just people also, I think, often overlook the downsides of that as well. Don't get me wrong. I am sure there are plenty of boxes to check in the pros column, but there are a lot of downsides to that being your life.
Bro,
and those aren't things, I'm interested in. I mean, that's just...
Well, also, I think it's a huge point to like try to recognize, like, you know, music or not, or any of these, like, when you feel like you're here and you wish you were here, that's dangerous. Like yeah. that is not correct. I don't think like that's just not a correct alignment to live your life because the problem is like your life is better than Bill Gates's life.
Yeah.
So is mine. So is yours.
Is it?
I mean, is it? I mean, that's a claim. Look, I mean, that was a claim. Or how about this? How about this? Could it be that your life and my life and your life is better than Bill Gates's? But it's just, you know, or some pop stars that you look up to, or you're, man, I want to. I don't know. I feel
sure
like
a
people
lot of it's
fooled.
Not as great yeah, as it seems.
How
for
do you
sure,
feel about the fact
I don't
that
think
Beyonce
so,
is a country know? Singer now. No.
I mean, I haven't heard that stuff. I know there was a, you know, some people are bummed out about it or something. Change the words to Jolene.
It's
no,
like,
no.
Who fucking cares, guys? It's
I know.
All
it's
the same thing.
Hardly different.
I think it's cool that, you know, country music's having a moment like
yeah,
that. You know,
cool.
I mean, Post Malone just did a record and I don't know, you know, like.
No, exactly. Again, whatever makes people happy, that's great. You know, that's
yeah,
their thing.
Yeah. But I think like the feeling, you know, man, like, again, you want to want what you already have, you know? And like,
yeah.
I've had so many dreams in my life for sure where like, you want to notice when you accomplish them. Like, you don't just want to keep breadcrumbing towards whatever aim you feel you have or this or that. Like, I don't know, man. Like, if you fast forwarded me when I was 20 years old, wanting to express myself on the guitar or like write certain songs that are of this quality, like I would have been like, fuck yeah. You know, like it takes,
yeah,
you want to celebrate
totally.
Those things.
Yeah,
and then,
totally.
You know, and to not stop and be grateful for those things and to constantly be pushing forward, you know, I like pushing forward, but like for me, it's pushing forward in the music, you know,
yeah.
It's not like a fucking, how do I link up with this branding professional and
yeah.
get my shit together like that. I mean, maybe someday that might be nice too, but it's just not where my energy doesn't go there naturally. You know?
Yeah. There's only so much attention that you have in your life and throughout the day. And just
I agree with
being
that.
Able to allocate that to where it needs to go creatively, I think is so huge because that does just eat people up and their mind is elsewhere and they don't put it in the things that would give you the greatest yield.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. There's a lot of wisdom in that. That's
for sure.
A,
and there's a long play involved in like, mm-hmm. I do believe that, like, good stuff gets found, you know? Like, so if your aim is to, like, if your aim is to write great stuff and you keep getting better at it, you know, eventually I think good things are going to happen for you. You know, like, I would like for my music to do the talking. Consistent. Yeah. Consistency is huge. I mean, that's why, like, every Wednesday, like, you guys doing this and stuff like that, that's the main thing, dude, is consistency. I mean, easier said than done. I'm sure figuring that out.
Yeah. Well, then, no, that's that is our mantra at the moment, because it's hard, because you think, okay, this is so much work. And I mean, again, there are worse ways to spend one's time. God knows. So this is going to sound like bitching in a way that it's not.
No, but it's work too.
You know, it is a lot of hours. It's a lot of work. We don't really do much of anything else at this point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, but just sort of enjoy the process. And if nothing else, the fact that we get to spend all of this time together and we get to spend this time with you or whomever it might be that's sitting in that seat, it makes all this worthwhile. I mean, I think the thing that crept up on all of us that we weren't anticipating when we started doing this, and we've talked about this so much because it's, I think it was really powerful how much we all felt it, is it feels so nice to do something for other people and have people in here and be like, no, like, here are all of these incredibly talented people, some of whom are friends, others we've never met. Here is something for you. Here is your music presented in a way that we thought we could present it well.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge for all of us. I think that's been a really big.
Yeah.
I think that's been a really big thing, and we weren't really anticipating that in any real way. But it's been very, very powerful.
Sure. What is the aim? What's the aim? If there is an aim, I mean, like, besides being
power
consistent,
and money, women. No.
Fame and money, baby.
Same no, triggers, I mean, as everybody else.
No, honestly, I don't really know if there is much of one. I mean, I think that
hopefully being able to quit my day job.
There you go.
That's what's up.
There you go.
Good for you. That's a good aim.
I think that's part of it. I think also I've gotten to a point in life too. And this might be, again, just a little bit too much information for some of the people listening. Dude, but like, I've just gotten to a point in life where for a long time I was very frustrated with certain aspects of life because I had this singular goal with music.
Which was for a long time,
it was the lowest bar you could imagine. It was just feeding oneself, doing the thing that you want to do. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. And obviously over the course of my life, my relationship with that has changed. And I've had moments where I've leaned more into that, other moments where I've leaned away. But at this point in life, I've really gotten to a place where I realize it's not so much I need to be feeding myself playing music. I'm always going to do music. That's never leaving. I will always be writing songs. I will always have that relationship to the thing that I love. But at this point, I think I've gotten to the understanding for myself that what you need to be a happy person is to not work for other people.
Totally.
And that's just me. Everyone has a different relationship with those things. And whatever it might be, that's where I feel I've kind of landed in life, this understanding of, oh, you just need to be doing that, whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a hard pill to swallow in some ways because you think, God, it'd be so nice if I could just be not even complacent, but just happy in the situation. You know, I'm a middle school music teacher. Like, that's what I, mm-hmm. that's my day job. And it's great. I mean, I work for an awesome school. The faculty are awesome. The kids are awesome. But I don't feel fulfilled in the way that I want to be fulfilled. Right. And I've taught for years and it's a great thing. I love being able to do that, but it's not the thing that fuels me.
Right.
And so I think a lot of life is frankly just recognizing those patterns in one's life and recognizing what it is that really brings you fulfillment and joy that you can continuously go back to. And it's also hard with something like music, where we all in various ways have this powerful relationship to music. And a big part of my life, and I'm sure everyone else is in this room, is figuring out what that relationship is. Because when you're a young person, you have no idea. It's just this all encompassing.
Sure. You're bold and dumb.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm still there, but
yeah, I think like my biggest thing is like, I just want to, work for myself and like, you know, support myself with something that I built that's mine.
Yeah,
building stuff, and support awesome people.
I don't want I don't want to be like a cog in the wheel. You know, I want to
for sure.
Yeah, like
and support awesome people.
You want to make stuff, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's it. Have the freedom.
Being an artist is like it's what do you make?
100%.
You know, like what are you making? I mean,
but it's also just been such a gift to have so many just really cool people sit down at this table and pick their brains about anything.
Of course, dude.
Because I
feel they're going to keep getting crazier too. And like you guys probably already feel yourself getting better at it. Oh, even though
100% for sure. Yeah.
I mean, there's no way.
Compare like the first couple episodes we did to like the ones that we do now, like we've gotten way better. Not like
we haven't mastered it yet. We're still getting there.
With everything, like, you know, how the videos look, how the audio sounds, like even the conversations we have, like,
for sure.
Yeah, it's been a process of continuing to improve and improve, but
I mean, and certainly like in terms of aims and goals and whatever, it's like there's a righteousness to like getting good at something for the fucking sake of being good at something. Like it's hard to get good at shit.
Yeah, that's well said.
Everyone's out here like you know, waiting for the accolades on the back end or whatever. I mean, and that, you know, maybe that comes, maybe it doesn't, but it's just like trying not to pay attention to that stuff and just putting your energy towards being good at a thing is worth it. And if you can develop an expertise in something, be it guitar, songwriting, podcasting, whatever, if you can develop an expertise, and that's like the ability to focus on one thing, you know what I'm saying? Where you're saying no to every other thing in the world except for that. Mm-hmm. So you're missing out somehow.
Yeah.
But I think if you get great at a thing, then you can appreciate the rest of the world around you and all the other things.
Absolutely.
Like if you're an incredible artist, incredible painter who's like can render and then went off and develop your own stuff, whatever that is, you can like taste food better or something.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have a greater appreciation for all other art forms.
You know how hard it is.
Yeah.
Or anything. Like, you know how hard it is to get good at something, and even if you
100%,
don't
know
what that person went through, you kind of do.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think that is absolutely perfectly said. I find there are about six things in life that I love because if I go beyond those six things, I just, in my head, there's only so many hours in the day. I would rather put that
money,
time
power,
towards
women.
I'd rather put that time towards those specific things that I love.
100%, dude.
And it is a conscious decision of, okay, when I'm doing this, I am not putting it into the literally infinite amount of other things I could be putting it into, but it allows you to appreciate those things more. Like,
that's right.
And it's where I have found I've gotten the most joy in life unequivocally is simply trying to get better at something for the sake 100%. Of being, like, to that, me, like I, for years I've done jujitsu. I love jujitsu.
Nice,
to death.
Dude.
I teach.
That's a serious jujitsu
with like, I love doing it. And to me, one of the things that I think is really fascinating about it is in jujitsu, like other martial arts, there is like a belt system. And I think a lot of people can kind of get like sidetracked by that. Like, oh, like I want to get to this next thing.
Of course.
And to me, I find it so interesting because it's never been really something that enters into the equation in my mind. Cause it's like just this, I am fascinated by this thing and getting better at this thing. And all I want to do is improve at that thing. And,
right.
And I think that if I can stay in that rhythm with whatever it may be, that's when I'm the happiest.
For sure.
And I'm just learning for the sake of learning.
Also, you're following, dude, it's, you know, it's whatever. Like, you know, it sounds self-help, but you're following your heart path. You're following things that, like, set your heart on fire. That's the thing, too, is whether it's jujitsu or music, you know, certainly you have to wake up and, like, do what you have to do, and you're not always inspired.
Yeah.
However, if you're in love with something, bro, there's no way that the guy who's not as in love with this thing as I am is going to be able to compete with me, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And his it's sustainable. Like if you're in love, like you can proceed in a way that someone who doesn't just have the same passion just over time cannot get where you're going to be able to get.
That passion needs to be there.
It has to be there, you know? And like, I think you want to, you know, you want to lead with that. And
yeah, it's a beautiful thing that I've found in life. And I think that there aren't really answers to these things, but they're the answers that I found to work for me. And music, my life is infinitely better because I have music, because I have that thing that I can just give myself to without the need of.
This is the other thing too, Casey. It's like, I get weird about it where it's like, of course I want to quit my day job too, right? I mean, I love my day job, honestly. Like, I really do.
I do too.
But like, I take it seriously, and like, I'm present, you know, when I'm doing that as well. Because if you're not, it bleeds into music.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to practice being present where it would, you know, like, you can't be daydreaming all the time. But just to want anything more from music at this point.
Yeah.
That's a little crazy too. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, well, I want to fucking, you know, play the rhyme. And like, these things, sure. But at the same time, you have to balance that with like, dude, for me, music has changed my life in ways that are... It's unquantifiable.
It feels unappreciative when I start thinking that way.
That's the problem.
It starts thinking oh, I want that next belt. It's the same thing. Just be in the present. Do the thing for the sake of doing the thing.
For sure.
You can have those aspirations, but just be in the present.
100%. It is also nice to have that tangible progression,
It is.
You know? It's nice to mark your progress.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's inspiring.
I think you also do need some degree of that.
So again, balance. Like, see, you guys, it's coming full circle. There you go.
It's a balance.
Balance.
Oh, man, well, I gotta say,
I need more balance in my life.
We all do, man.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, man, like, I really, really appreciate that you came on here.
Oh, fuck yeah,
your name—it's so funny. There are a handful of people who like kind of keep cropping up in conversation, and you are one of those.
You
people.
Are so one of the most frequently mentioned guests.
Oh my god, so I'm flattered.
So it's been
behind Mark.
Yeah. So I'm just
Gordon.
You and Mark, great. I feel like, are the two that keep cropping up the most in conversation. So I'm just...
I think it's badass what you guys are doing, man. This is what it's all about. It's all about fucking blowing up the people in your own life.
It's, you know? it's just about helping people out, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And there's too many great people around here to... I'm glad you got, like, someone had to do it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's part of our logic. We're like, if we don't do this, someone else is going to.
They're going to have more fun than us. So,
well,
like,
there's other ones too.
Fun.
I mean, you guys know about like 10-year town.
Yeah, there are a few around here that are doing stuff.
I think it's like a songwriter based Nashville podcast.
Yeah, there are a few good ones around. Okay. We just wanted something that was more just hanging out talking.
I know.
What I mean? Like, there are some great ones. A lot of them are just more interviewee. There's certainly a time and place for that, but like, whether it's hanging out with friends or whether it's bringing on someone new that we've never, I think just hanging and talking and picking brains is the way to fucking do it. So
it is, dude.
Hell yeah, man.
Well, good on you, man.
Thank you.
Both of you.
This is a lot of fun. Fuck yeah, dude.
It's a blast.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Badass, dude. Good to meet you.
That was awesome.
That was great.
Thank you so much.
That was super fun, man.